Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It's so good to see you all this morning. Merry Christmas. I cannot believe it's this week. How many did it sneak up on? Did it sneak up on you this week? It has snuck up on me. I want to just say, though, that we'd love to have you this Thursday night for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. How many know candles make everything better? Except for the people that have to clean it up. But we're excited about that. Last year, we went from one Christmas Eve service to two, and this year we're going to three to make sure that we have plenty of room for everybody. So I just want to encourage you, invite your family, invite friends, anybody that doesn't even maybe know the Lord. It would be an amazing night, a one-hour service, a kids' choir is going to sing, special music, you know, all the things. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time together. So I also want to highlight what they just mentioned about the cold weather shelter that we're going to be opening up the church in January for any night that's 32 degrees or under. How many say that's a good thing? It's a good thing to be able to house people that don't have a home. And so we need volunteers. If you're a man that could give a night or two or 10 or 20, we would love to have you come and help us be a part of that. Well, as we're right in the middle of the Christmas season right now, I kind of just want to see how united we are on a few things. Here's how I want to find out how we're united. I'm going to make a few statements, and then as I make the statement, then you clap if you agree with it. Is that okay? And we'll see. So could we just do a practice clap to see what it sounds like when we're united in agreement? Everybody clapping? Okay. All right, so here we go. Here's a few statements I'm going to make. You clap if you agree. So it's the most wonderful time of the year. Okay, you guys, the Christmas spirit's a little low. I don't know. Okay, here we go. How about this? I have all my Christmas shopping done. How about, okay, good. You guys are prepared. How about I haven't bought a thing? Yeah. Okay. Some of the wives are upset right now. How about this one? I've already watched a few Hallmark Christmas movies. How about this one? I knew how they'd end in the first 5 minutes. Yeah, you know you did. How about this? I wish we'd get a foot of snow. Yeah. Yeah. I knew this was my church. Yes. How about this one? I have a member of my family that drives everyone crazy. How about this one? I am that member. At least we have some honest people in the room today, right? And how about this one? The last one, but not least, the most important. I'm so thankful Jesus was born. Come on. Yeah. So I think that just goes to show that our unity is in Jesus. It really is. In the midst of all of our opinions of the day and all the things we like and all the things we don't like, Jesus really is what brings us together as believers. This morning I want to share for a short time, that we're going to have communion at the end today. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and all that it means to us and all that it means to the entire world, I've been thinking back to the prophecies, to the words that God shared with his prophets, his friends, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. That what they saw and what they heard and what they proclaimed through scripture, they actually never saw with their own eyes. But that what was released through them, what they heard from God, what was released through them, brought hope, and it brought an expectation of the promised Messiah that would come. And so I want to read a couple of those written prophetic words out of the book of Isaiah today, which was about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And then we're going to actually read them as they're fulfilled in the Gospels today, in the Gospel of Luke. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is one of those. We'll read it together if you want to read it out loud with me. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. couple chapters later, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. You don't have to read it out loud with me. I can tell that's not working today. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. In verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That is a good word, isn't it? It's a good word. The people of Israel were anxiously anticipating the manifestation of the promised Messiah. They'd been reciting this. They'd been remembering these prophetic words that had been passed down from generation to generation for literally hundreds of years. They were watching for a great king to come. And they were looking for a powerful conqueror to appear. And they knew that the time was close for that arrival. From their understanding of scripture, they formed an expectation of how their Messiah was going to come. But their understanding of what it would look like was incomplete. And it turned out actually to be quite incorrect. They thought this king would come and would quickly deliver them from the oppression of the Romans, that he would establish them as the most powerful nation. We could say, maybe in the language that we would understand today, they thought he was coming to make Israel great again. That was a bad joke. You didn't catch it. Maybe you did, too soon. They expected that the Messiah would take his seat on an actual physical throne to rule and to reign. This would have been the mindset of both the educated, the theologians, and it also would have been the perspective and the mindset of common people of the day. And they'd been waiting. And as they waited, the picture of what they were waiting for began to look like something other than what it was going to look like. They had the word, they had the prophecy, the Messiah was going to come, the government was going to be upon his shoulders, that he would be mighty, but their idea of mighty would end up looking different than the way his might would be expressed. What he would look like and how he would bring his kingdom did not line up with what they had come to expect and what they had come to insist upon. The Messiah being born to a teenage virgin in a dirt-filled trough for animals was not the expectation. That kind of lowliness, that kind of humble circumstances, they would never have expected for the way that the Messiah would come. They were looking for a power broker. They were looking for somebody who looked the part, who talked the part, who could bring other nations to their knees, who could command great military and might and bring them great wealth. So you can imagine the confusion when that's not what happened. This isn't what they expected. This isn't what they imagined their Messiah to come and look like. This isn't what we were looking for as we recited those prophecies. How could this be the way he'd come? And as you know, if you read through the Gospels, that theme really continues through the entire course of the life of Jesus, doesn't it? Where to the very end of his life, where they mocked him by putting a crown of thorns upon his head and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and spit on him, and they struck him in the head. This isn't what God coming was supposed to look like, and many and most of them did not understand it or could not see it even till the very end. This isn't what they expected. And I've just been meditating on this. I've been praying about this. I've been just giving myself to just to contemplate over this. And as I've been doing that, I realized that, like, in our own life, the truth is that it can be very much the same for us. That whenever we imagine or whenever we believe that the way that Jesus comes or the way that Jesus is going to demonstrate his might or the way that we believe that his rule or his kingdom should come, whenever it doesn't happen as we expected or as we anticipated, we can become confused. We can become conflicted. We can become disappointed and even begin to resist what God is actually doing. We can actually, because our mindset expects a thing, a certain way that God would come and that God would pour out or that God would respond as we understand it, we can actually resist how God is coming because it doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look like or how we imagine his activity would come. I think we've all shared in some of that this past year, haven't we? I think we could all safely say together that this last year was not what we expected. The circumstances surrounding his life, his entire life, Jesus' entire life from the beginning all the way through to his death and his resurrection, it really wasn't the way that they thought the king would come, and it wasn't the way that they thought that he'd move. It wasn't the way that they thought he'd behave. He did not hang with the people they thought he should hang with. He did not do the things they thought a Messiah and a king would do. He shocked them all. And church, I gotta tell you today, he's still shocking us. Have you ever been shocked by what God does? Have you ever been surprised by what God does? Have you ever thought, absolutely, God is going to do this or God is going to do that? And then God did not do this and God did not do that. I think this year's been full of that kind of thing. But when we really think about it, when we are continually surprised at what God does or doesn't do, I really think that we're coming to a place where we shouldn't be surprised, because of course it isn't what our natural minds think. Because his kingdom was not all about, it wasn't like all the kingdoms of the world. And his ways were not like all the ways and the means of the world. And because of that, we with great hope, church, no matter what we're facing and what we're going through, in any circumstance, with great hope in our hearts, we can stand in the place and say God is the God of the unexpected. And that his plans, whether we understand them or not, will always be more beautiful and will always be greater than all of our expectations and disappointments could ever be in his time. I just want to speak that over us today, because I know many have disappointments right now in your life, but I want to tell you, it's okay if it didn't look like what you thought it was going to look like. We realign to him and say, what are you doing? What are you saying? Because we want to be in that. We want to be in what you're saying. And we're gonna approach this and posture our hearts in the place that whatever you're doing is gonna be more beautiful and it's gonna be greater than all of my expectations or my disappointments could ever be. And it will come forth in your time. It will not come forth in my time. It will come forth in his time. So church, I want to encourage you today in this, that he is not only the God of revelation, meaning the God who reveals himself, but he is also the God of mystery. He is also the God of mystery that requires his people to follow him in simple obedience and trust and waiting, even when we don't understand and we cannot see and we cannot make sense of what is going on. We see this all through the scriptures, don't we? People hearing something from God, they don't know exactly what it is, but they step out in response to him in faith and obedience, not knowing the full destination to where they're being led. Church, I believe that at the heart is the story of the birth of Jesus. At the heart of all all of this is a crew of people that we see, that we talk about in the manger and the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph, everyone that was involved in his birth, that is their story. And it's still the story for us today. It certainly was for Joseph and Mary. And I want to just talk for a few minutes a little bit about the two of them. In Matthew chapter 1, we know this story. We're so familiar with this story, but I'm praying today that there are parts of this story that are going to come alive to us in a fresh way. How many say, I want that to come alive to me again? I do too. So Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, is engaged to Mary. And before they come to the marriage bed, he finds she's pregnant. It was from the Holy Spirit, of course, but he did not know that. And I think it's easy to become so familiar with the story, but we can forget how upsetting that would be. We can forget how confusing that moment would actually be, how hurtful it would have been in that moment. But the Bible says that Joseph was full of integrity, that even in the fear of the worst happening, he didn't want to disgrace his fiance. So when he learned that she was pregnant, he does what he can only logically understand to do, and that's he secretly makes plans to break the engagement. But while he's considering this, while he's debating this with himself about what to do, he falls asleep, just like most men do. Hey, how many believe in naps? Naps are from heaven, guys. Yes, thank you, men. He falls asleep, and he has a supernatural dream. Verse 20 of Matthew 1, it goes like this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You think about this. Joseph was pumped to get married. Joseph was pumped to do the things you do when you get married. You know? Like, he's pumped. Can I hear an amen from the men? Okay, thank you very much. He finds out she's pregnant. Hey, okay, anyways, I'll stop. I'm growing. I'm learning to stop. Here we go. So he finds out she's pregnant, not from him. It's not a good day. Definitely not what he's expecting. It's definitely not the plan. It's not the dream. It's not what you want to hear. In fact, the dream is actually turning into a nightmare hearing that. In fact, we could even say, I don't know, the word sex scandal is what we kind of understand in our day. That's what was going on here, right? But the angel speaks to him. He has an encounter. How many know an encounter changes everything? He has an encounter, and through this encounter, God asks Joseph to believe the unimaginable. The unimaginable, to believe that this was an act of God and not adultery. And to do something that he's never done before, which is to be the stepfather of the Son of God. Now this is a lot to take in. Church, I feel like we hear this story so often that it becomes so normal, but when you put yourself into that position, it is terrifying what he's experiencing right now in his life. And what I take from that is that we have to remember that being in the will of God will make you uncomfortable. When did we ever think that being in the will of God is comfortable? When did we ever think that favor and anointing and blessing means it's like just easy and awesome all the time? Church, it is not. Being in the will of God is often uncomfortable and even disorienting. So he wakes from the dream, and what does he do? It says he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. And he did not have sex with his wife until she had given birth. How many can say that is obedience? God breaks into the situation and he gives Joseph a word of direction. He responds in obedience to the will of God. And what strikes me is that his obedience changes history. His obedience changes the course of the world. But that's what obedience does. That's what obedience does. God is not looking for experienced people. He's looking for the obedient, those who will listen and obey. It was the same then. It's the same now. I mean, you know, if I'm wanting somebody to be a father, you know, another father help raise my kids with me, I'm going to look to somebody who's experienced. God does not look to the experienced. He looks to the obedient. He looks to the obedient. We look at Mary, Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can open them. The angel Gabriel is dispatched from God to speak with her. In verse 28, you've read it many times. He says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Can we read that out loud together? "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Can you imagine this moment? 700 years later, it is happening. What they've been waiting for, what she's heard about, is happening, and it's happening in her. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, such a powerful response of what she says. "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Can we say that out loud together? "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a moment. What a powerful encounter that she has. Who could have dreamed up a scenario like this for the coming of the Messiah? Hundreds of years of waiting comes to this moment. Mary, you're favored. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. But here's what's going to happen. And I've been thinking about her response in this moment to what she's been told. Because how many know how we respond to what we've been told is always of great significance? How we respond to what we've been told is of the greatest importance with God. She asks a question. How many know it's okay to ask God questions? It's okay to ask him questions. She doesn't ask why. Which I just would just say this to you. Sometimes things that are happening in our lives that we don't understand, I would just tell you that I've never found a lot of life or response in the question why. She doesn't ask why. She asks how. How will this be? Other translations say, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Like, this is an impossibility in her mind, right? How can this be? It's not so much that she's wanting proof. It's that she's simply wanting more information. She's wanting more detail. Have you ever wanted more detail from God on something? I have. She's simply wanting more information because she can't wrap her mind around it. How will this be? I hear what you're saying, but how in the world is this even possible since I'm a virgin? And I think about this question because even on a personal level, think on a personal level for me, for my life, for you, for your life, for even where God is calling us to as a church, the bigger pictures of what, of the Great Commission. How is this possible? I think about the words that have been prophetically spoken over our lives, the prophetic words that you and I hold on to, or even the scriptures that invite and call us into something. And I think about this question and the times that I've asked it. Maybe you're here today and you're asking this right now. How is this going to work out? How is this going to happen? How is God going to do this? How is God going to do what he said he would do? How is this possible? How can it be? And I think about on an individual level, how can this be since I am a whatever? How can this be since I'm a this or I'm a that? How will I do what you're saying that I'm going to do? How will I do what you're calling me to do since I'm a this or I'm a that, or I'm not a this or I'm not a that? Have you ever been to that? God calls you to something and you're like, I can't do that. I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because of that. I can't do this because I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I don't fit into that form, or I don't fit into what I see this to look like. But God says, yes. How can I do this? How can this be? You fill in the blank with your own word. For your own life, how can this be? How will this be able to happen? How will I be able to do the things that I'm not capable of doing? I mean, even think about this, like God's answer to his child coming into the world is letting that newborn baby come to a teenager. Like, I don't know about you, but when we had our first kid, like, we called in like the elderly people that had like raised children and grandchildren to watch our kids. We wanted some experience. You know what I mean? How will this be that I do what you're asking me to do when it's otherwise impossible? And Gabriel answers her and he says, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be about your ability. It's not going to be about your experience. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, he will overshadow you to be able to do something that you could never do ever on your own. This reminds me of what we talked about last week, just before Jesus ascends to heaven. After he's resurrected and he tells the disciples, what does he say? He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. How's this going to be? It's going to be the Holy Spirit upon you. It's going to be the power of God overshadowing you to experience and do things that you could never do on your own. It was the answer to the question of how for Mary. And church, I want to tell you, it's still the answer to the question for how for us. For whatever he calls you into, it's always the answer. Church, I want to remind you that he is still the God that does what we could never do. He is still the God that makes something out of nothing. Are you with me this morning? He's still the God that breaks into time and he breaks into space and he does what only he can do to bring about his purposes on the earth in his time. He's the God of the impossible, and he's still moving through humble, willing people that are yielded to him. Whether it's a virgin birth of the Savior of the world, or it's Elizabeth in her old age conceiving a son, or it's the opening of blind eyes, or the healing of the paralyzed man, or the destroying of a brain tumor, come on, or the restoring of a dead and hopeless marriage, or whether it's the deliverance of an alcoholic, it is no different. It is still going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you what the angel said. He said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. In a year full of things that look so impossible, I want to tell you today, nothing is impossible with God. And that is not hype. And that is not just some preacher yelling out something to make people clap. I'm telling you, it's the word of God. It's the truth of God. How will this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, enabling you, as the Spirit always does, to do and be more than you could ever do or be by yourself. That's the good news. That's the good news. This has never been about what we are capable about. I gotta tell you, I've been, you know, walking with the Lord a long time, and I still jump into these places where I think it's gonna have to be me. It's gonna have to be my ideas. It's gonna have to be my leadership. No, 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 no. It is gonna be the Holy Spirit upon me to push through whatever it is that He's called me to do. And it's the same for your life. You might be sitting in those situations and you say, how do I walk this out? How do I walk the word of the Lord out? And you can't do it on your own. That's the best place to be. I can't do it. I need Him. Holy Spirit, power on my life. Gabriel lived in the spirit realm. Mary lived in the natural realm. These two war against each other. Do you know that? They war against each other. That's why we have to meditate on the word of God. That's why we have to meditate on what He says, because in the natural, many times, what God calls us to do does not make sense, and it is impossible logically. It is impossible logically. And most of the time, He doesn't let us in on everything at once. So it can feel like you're walking in the dark. In fact, it can seem like we have no idea what's next. We just know the one that we're following. Have you ever felt like you're walking in the dark? I want to tell you that it's not always bad when you're walking in the dark, as long as you're following Him. As long as you're following Him. Because in that moment when we don't know what's next and we can't understand how this is going to be, we realize again that we have lost the right to be in control of our lives. And that can be scary, but it's the only safe place. Tyler, you can come on up here. Think about all that Mary had just been told. How mind-blowing it was, how troubling it was, how life-altering that news was. You think about even what it would be to even process this whole idea in her brain. How can this be? I'm a virgin, I'm a teenager. But even when you don't understand, even when it doesn't look like you expected, when you believe that nothing is impossible with God, you can respond to whatever He says, to whatever He asks, out of trust and faith to do what He's asking you. And her response, church, was so beautiful. And I believe it's so central to Jesus. It's so central to His coming. It's so central to all of our following of Him. Her response is so beautiful. I am the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What your word says, that's what I want. Let it be to me. Yes, God. How many have a yes in you today? It's a yes that He's looking for. Yes, God. I don't understand, but I'm willing. I don't understand how all this works, but I'm willing. In other words, I'm yielded and I'm yours. Mary just received the most honored vocation imaginable in the kingdom of God. Think about that. She just had been given the most prestigious, most honored vocation in the kingdom of God, to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And what is her response? Her response is one of total humility. It's not of a Christian celebrity. It's of total humility. Total humility. Her response is to lay down her life, to be the servant of the Lord. And I want to suggest to you that this Christmas, this moment that we're in right now, this season, that the way that He came is still the way that He comes. The way that He came is still the way that He comes. The way that He came through Mary, through Joseph, is still the way that He comes through you and me, through yielded, available, surrendered, humble people who have laid down their agenda for His. Does anybody have an agenda that they need to lay down today? I believe that we sometimes pick up these agendas not knowing. Sometimes we pick up agendas that we think are His agenda, and then we wake up to the fact that it's not His agenda, and we got to lay it down and say, yes, Lord, it's a joy to lay that down to follow you. It wasn't what I thought, but my eyes are on you, and I want what you want. Let it be unto me according to your word. I am the servant of the Lord. Thinking about how Jesus would later basically say the same thing that I'm sure he heard his mother pray different times through her life. Let it be according to your word. And then what does Jesus say later? Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Church, I want to encourage you, in a wild year like we've had, no matter how crazy and unexpected it may look, no matter how impossible it may seem, our response is to be those that say, I'm available, and I say yes to your word. I'm available, and I say yes. What was true for Joseph and true for Mary is true for us, that every new season requires a letting go of uncertainty. Every new season requires a letting go of certainty in order to follow by faith in obedience the one who is leading us. I ran across this little scripture that I hadn't read in a long time out of Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching and preaching. There's this random lady in Luke 11 that shouts out to Jesus while he's teaching. I've had that before. From the crowd. And this is what she says in Luke chapter 11, in the second half of verse 27. She just shouts this out randomly. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Jesus responded and said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The Passion says, blessed are those who listen to the word of God and carefully obey everything that they hear. Now, he was not disrespecting his mother, and he wasn't disrespecting the importance of her womb. What he was doing was he was elevating what matters most, which is to hear and obey. To hear and obey. Church, I believe this season right now that God is looking for a people that will hear and obey, that will lift their hands in surrender and a yes and say, I don't know how to do this, but it's okay. I'm going to trust your leadership. I'm going to follow your leadership, Holy Spirit, because I know that you're leading me to do things with you, and I want to be a part of it. How many want to be a part of that this Christmas, this season? Come on, would you stand with me this morning? Would you just lift your hands all over the room together, and can we just offer up our yes to him? Just close your eyes and just lift your hands all over the place.